Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. David Langford here. We welcome everyone to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. I just pray today that the grace of God is touching your heart and your life. I pray that you are in His Word and that His Word is transforming you. It is changing you. It is making you more in the image and in the likeness of Christ. If you'll spend time in prayer, if you'll spend time in the Word, God will change your life just like He did Josiah. Let me say today that would you be willing to share the Voice of Evangelism with everyone that you can? One of the greatest ways to bless this ministry is by sharing it with others. There will be those who will be grateful, be thankful. There'll be those who'll say, not my style, not my kind of preacher. But that's okay. The thing we're trying to do is share the Word of God. I got a beautiful card from a lady the other day from New York, Long Island. And she was describing how grateful and thankful she was that she found the Voice of Evangelism, because she said the Word of God is impacting her life. That's why we preach the Bible, because it will change people's lives. That's the power of the Word. As I said yesterday, the Word of God is like the sun. It'll melt a ball of wax until it liquefies it. Or, like the sun, the Word of God will harden men's hearts like a clay brick. The Word of God will affect you positively or negatively. One will humble and repent. The other will become more calloused and hard-hearted. That's what happens when you are in the presence of the Word of God. As true believers of Christ, the Word of God is always renewing us and transforming us. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He hath saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God and the Word of God always renews you and is seeking to conform you to Christ. Ephesians 4:23, Paul said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, your mind. Oh, my. When the Word of God finds a lodging place in your mind, it will renew you, transform you, and make you more like Jesus, the Lord's Christ. Amen. I want to play a song by Bill Gaither today. Bill wrote this song many years ago. It's entitled, The King is Coming. Listen closely. Listen closely to the words of the song that he wrote, The King is Coming.
You know, the first time he came as a helpless little baby. But the next time he comes, my friend, He's going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in that day, every eye shall see, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that He is indeed Lord. And the marketplace in downtown Birmingham is going to be empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest. Busy housewives cease their labors. In our great courtrooms, no more debate. Cause work on earth has been suspended, my friend. as if the King comes through the gate.
I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming. Happy faces are gonna line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed, and broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he set free, little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow. And those who were crippled, broken and ruined, now clad in garments white as snow.
Birmingham, I want you to get your hands together in praise and celebration for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng and the flurry of God's trumpet. Sin and wrong, regal robes are now unfolding, heaven's grand stands all in place, heaven's choir is now assembled, start to sing, amazing grace, for the King is coming.
Think of that. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. He's coming in great power, great authority, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will rule from Jerusalem with a rod of iron. And he will tread the winepress, the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. I am so glad he loves me. I am so glad he saved me. I was lost and undone without God or his son. But he reached down, and my mess, my profuse mess, and saved me. God didn't have to save you. He would have been just in turning from you and ignoring you the rest of your life. But Paul said, but God, who is rich in mercy, wherein with his love he hath loved us. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Backslidden, adrift, away from God, on the sea of life. My life was hopeless. My life was tempestuous. I was tossed on the sea of life like a small little boat in a ferocious storm on the sea. All of my making, all of the way I was living, but God, who is rich in mercy. Psalms 103:10 says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. God did not reward me, and God did not reward you the way he should have rewarded us. I should have been severed. I should have been cut off from God. But the psalmist said, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. You see, the psalmist understood, my God, he should have obliterated me. He should have severed me, cut me off. But he didn't. Psalms 130, verses 3 and 4 says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I love those two scripture verses. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, who shall stand? I visualize God as a schoolteacher standing at a blackboard with scores and scores of sticks of chalk and puts down four lines, then draws a line through the four, making it five. And then starting over again, 6, 7, 8, 9, then drawing a line through those four. Now we're at 10. And on it goes into infinity. If that, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, Lord, who shall stand? Who? But, in the English language, what a beautiful word, a conjunction, adding something to something else. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherein with his great love he loved us. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to know this today, whether you're sinner, saint, backslider, cold, tepid, lukewarm, indifferent, or on fire for God, he loves you. He loves you so much. And people say, well, we don't hear enough love. That's the problem. We are hearing too much love, and not the other side of God. Just as sure as there's light, there's darkness. Just as sure as there's a heaven, there is a hell. Just as sure as there is truth, there is a lie. It is all a reality. I pray today that it is your heart to be committed to Christ. My job as a preacher is to challenge you spiritually. I'm to challenge you spiritually in your walk, your relationship with Jesus. Not patty cake you, pamper you, pad you, and protect you from the truth. My calling is to tell the truth to a lost and dying world and warn a lukewarm, tepid, indifferent church. I want to be faithful to God's call on my life. Looking back today, 2 Kings 22, verse 19, because thine heart was tender. That is so powerful. Thine heart was tender, not his cardiovascular system or the organ, the heart, but his spiritual heart was tender. Thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. When thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse. This is the end results of America without repentance, a desolation and a curse. And hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I have also heard thee, saith the Lord. Josiah possessed a pure, unadulterated reverence and contrition, allowed God's favor to come upon his life because that one renowned statement, Jehovah declared, I have heard thee. I have heard thee, saith the Lord. David said in Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their cries. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. When I share with you the scriptures and the personal relationship that men and women alike had with Christ, these people were obedient to his word, and they were what we would call prayer warriors. They interceded, they prayed, they fellowshiped, they communed with God. Some years ago, I heard a statement made that the average Christian spends less than 2 or 3 minutes a day in prayer. I call that courtesy prayer. You're just being courteous. I'm talking about relationship. You know, I can't make anyone serve God, love him, embrace his word, tithe, give offerings, sacrifice. I can't make anyone do any of that. You must fall in love with the Lord yourself. You must submit yourselves to God, and in so doing, he will develop within you an insatiable desire for the deep things of God. He will create a hunger and a thirst in your life. It's like eating a particular food that the first time you ate it, you just couldn't appreciate. you wanted to, but you couldn't appreciate how delightful and delectful and delicious that it was. And it becomes your favorite. And you like that, and you desire that. Well, when you fall in love with Christ, everything loses its glitter. Everything loses all of its flashy, showy, pretentious manifestations. You know, people make time for what they want. If you want to go golfing, boating, fishing, camping, whatever the case might be, you make time for it. I'm convicted on a regular basis about my prayer life. Are you convicted about your prayer life? Don't think I'm advocating, appropriating, or endorsing or embracing works. I'm not. But you have those kind of works because of the love that you have for God. Remember, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy might. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. Do you love him that way? Is he truly the bright and morning star in your life? Is he the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley in your life? Is he the fountain of living water? Is he the sustenance, the bread of life for you daily, daily bread? Or is he just someone you hear about? Someone that you have a limited experience and knowledge of? Or are you sold out, sold out, sold out? Josiah, when hearing the word of God, it changed him. Because he responded correctly to the words of God, God said, I also have heard thee. Now, God hears everything. There's nothing that God does not hear. But the application here is, I'm going to answer your prayer. I'm not just talking about hearing your audible voice and seeing you rent your garments and seeing you weep before me. I'm going to answer your prayer. I've heard thee, and I'm going to respond to your petition. Oh, how precious, how beautiful it is for God to respond to our petition. Josiah's reverence and awe and humility and contrition towards Jehovah allowed God to say to Josiah, I have heard thee. I'm going to answer your prayer. 1 John 5 and 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he heareth us. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Remember, 300 years before Josiah would be born, it was prophesied someone would come out of the descendant, out of the loins of David. 300 years. That boggles my mind. God knew 300 years before Josiah would be born what would happen. You see, God doesn't start at the beginning and work to the end. God starts at the end and works backwards to the beginning. We can't do that. God can. The last written word in the book of Revelation, 22:21, God starts there and backs all the way up to Genesis 1:1. God does that. 300 years before Josiah would be born. God knew he would come. He would be convicted by the word of God. He would respond correctly to God's word. His heart would be tender. He would rent his garments. He would weep before the Lord, and God would say, I have heard thee, saith the Lord. I've heard thee. Look at verse 20. 2 Kings 22 and 20. Behold, therefore. That word therefore. When you see the word therefore, as one gentleman said, it's there for a reason. But the word therefore means as the results of. Something has transpired. Something has taken place. And behold, therefore. What took place? His heart was tendered. He humbled himself. He prayed and sought God. He rent his garment and he wept. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Let's look at that for a moment. As the results, therefore, as you have responded to my word, remember, this is Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26. Remember, you have hearkened to the word of the Lord. I will gather thee unto thy fathers. So God forestalled, God preempted Josiah's life, and that he would not go through this severe judgment that was coming upon Israel. You know, one of the sad stories is Zedekiah would follow Josiah. Zedekiah would reign 11 years. Zedekiah was told by Jeremiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, you need to humble yourselves, submit yourselves unto Nebuchadnezzar, go into Babylonian captivity, and you will live. You will not die. Jeremiah prophesied to Zedekiah, you will see Nebuchadnezzar eye to eye. That means you're going to face him physically. One man looking into the eyes of another man. They would look into each other's eyes. See, at this point in time, Israel was ripe for divine judgment from God. This is where America is today. We are ripe for the judgment of God. And the only thing that's postponing this judgment is the saints of God who are faithful and crying, praying, weeping, seeking God, trying to obey God in every sense of the word. When Ezekiel, who was a contemporary as well, in Ezekiel chapter 9, he talks about the people of God, Israel, and how God had said, I'm going to judge, and the judgment will be profusely harsh. Ezekiel 9, verse 6, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Now, who was God sparing during this time of judgment? Those who had the mark of God on their forehead. But notice what they were doing. This is important for you to understand. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city. Now, God's talking to an angel here to mark those who are obedient. Ezekiel 9, 4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Boy, that tells me something. Angels can have pity. Angels can have compassion. Angels can mete out mercy. But God said, once the punishment begins to be meted out, do not have pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And it was so devastating. In verse 8, Ezekiel 9, verse 8, then he said unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. And they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. Ezekiel could not imagine. As a matter of fact, if I back up there in verse 8, Ezekiel 9 and verse 8, and it came to pass while they were slaying, the angels are slaying, Ezekiel said, and I was left. I was left. He didn't get slain. And I fell upon my face and cried and said, O Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel and thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? The judgment was so severe, Ezekiel was questioning, is there going to be anything left? Will there be anything left once you're done? America is a wicked nation. America is a sinful people. I know the prophets prophesy smooth things, good things, blessings, 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 blessings. I want to see it. I want to believe it. But somehow I know, because we are so sinful, how can God bless the filth, the abominations of this nation? How can he do it? Well, the truth is, he can't. I do believe everyone listening to me can make not only a difference in America, but around the world. Friend, if we will intercede, God can change things. I thought about, and I think about it, I rehearse and reminisce Genesis 18 and 19, Abraham talking with God, Jesus. Wilt thou slay the righteous with the wicked? Shall not the judge of all the earth do that which is right? And then the great negotiation begins, 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. You see, what I see there, and I've shared this many times, God gave Abraham an opportunity to intercede for both Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you interceding for America and even the other nations? Are we conscious of the lost? Are we aware of the magnitude of the devastation and the destruction that will come? If you're new to the Voice of Evangelism, you need to research Henry Gruber, A.A. Allen, Dimitri Dudeman. The judgments that these men foresaw coming to America. Henry Gruber saw both Chinese and Russian troops on American soil. I don't say that to frighten you. I don't say that to certainly scare you. I'm not a fearmonger. Neither am I a warmonger. But even God can use a general, like the general in the Air Force that said some weeks ago, we'll be in war with China in the next 2 years, by 2025. And he said, start practicing headshots with your handguns. Why would a man say that? He tells us why he said that. He said, I have a gut feeling. Consternation has permeated his mind. Even sinner people, I don't know the man's relationship with Jehovah, but a sinner man can have an unction and know something. And God allows him to know something so that that man himself might turn from his own sins and save himself from this untoward generation. God promised Josiah, because therefore all the things that you have done in obedience and compliance to my word, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. Because of godly repentance. I'm not talking about just haphazardly saying, oh, come on, Lord, just be merciful to me. No, no. Godly repentance coupled with great fear concerning the written word of God, Jehovah openly makes a divine promise to the king. I will gather thee unto thy fathers. Thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. Thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they took that word from Huldah, and they brought the word to the king. Here's what the Lord said. They shared it with the king. No doubt in his heart, he was profusely relieved. An element of joy filled his heart. No doubt one of thanksgiving. But then his mind turned toward his people. God is going to spare me. God's going to save me, and I'm not going to see this evil. But look at all of those that are going to witness this evil, this judgment of God. I believe this, and I say this with humility. Some will never witness the judgment of God on America. Because I believe God will prematurely take many out before he commences to mete out divine judgment in this nation. We should not live in fear, because God has everything under control. He knows what is best for everyone. There's not one of us that he does not know what is the best for us. When you go back and you read Hebrews chapter 11, there were those that God delivered. There were those that did not want deliverance. They wanted to die a martyr's death for the Lord. God will make that decision for all of us. He knows what's best for every one of us. Psalms 31:15, David said, "My times are in your hand." God made a promise to Josiah. He let him know that both Israel and Judah were ripe for divine judgment because Josiah responded correctly to the word of God. He delayed judgment. You've heard me say God can ramp up the throttle. God can pull back the throttle concerning time. He can accelerate it to bring something to fruition, better known as a kairos moment, or he can slow it down where the chronology, the chronos, is longer because he's God. But the key was that when Josiah heard the word, he obeyed, he responded, he acted correctly toward God and his word. How many people truly react, respond, and obey God's word as best they can every day? Or is it a hit and a miss? Well, maybe, maybe not. You know, I know I didn't pray today. I knew I said a few curse words yesterday. Listen, God has a record of everything about all of us. Jesus said to you and I, you cannot add one inch to your height or your stature. So in essence, we should not fear the judgment of God that will come to America. I can't change anything in myself. I need the hand and the help of God. I need the word of God in my life to change me. My nature, your nature, is always in opposition to God. That's the nature of the carnal man and the carnal mind, is to not surrender to the perfect will of God. Jesus, in his humanity, said, "Father, if at all possible, let this cup pass from me." He didn't want to die like that. What human being would want to die that kind of a death? No one. And don't think Jesus didn't know what they were going to do to him, because the scriptures prophesied what would happen to him. Isaiah 52:14, his visage was marred more than any man. It's been said he didn't even look human when they got through beating him. He always knows what is best. We should seek to live godly lives, and we should prepare accordingly. If you know a storm is coming, here in the South, every time a weatherman says it's going to snow, you better hurry and get to the grocery store, because all the milk and the bread's going to be gone. That's just the way it is here in the South. It's going to be gone. Knowing something is going to come ahead of time should cause everyone to make wise and prudent decisions. But you can make all the natural preparations you want, but that will not save you. It takes the blood of the Lamb to save you from sin and from God's judgment in the earth. I'm so glad that the account has been settled. Do you have peace with God today? Do you have the peace of God that passeth all understanding? Are you living according to the way you ought to live? Do you live according to the way that you know to live? I want to encourage you to live a godly, consecrated, dedicated life to Christ. God wants you living that way. He wants you to serve him, not in just any way, but serve him according to his word. That's what he wants. That's how he wants you to live. He wants you to serve him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. He wants your affection to be set on him and nothing else. Is your heart really set on the Lord? Or is it on other temporal things here in this hour? I want to take a moment today to pray. Next week we'll start in chapter 23 and witness the reforms that Josiah would make before he would pass away. You can make reforms in your life. You can make changes in your life. You can be where you need to be in Christ. It is a choice. It is a choice that we all will make. I pray that you'll make the right choice. Father, Lord, I thank you for touching my heart that I would prepare this teaching series on rediscovering the Word of God. I thank you for the clarity that we witness in the Scriptures. I thank you for the simplicity that we witness in the Scriptures. I thank you, Lord, for helping me to expound these scriptures at this particular time. God, I do pray for America. I pray that you will send an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. I don't know how it will be done, but I know you can do it. God, I pray for the masses of young people from 40 years old and downward. I know our listening audience and those who watch the telecast are mainly in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. But God, what about those in their 40s and 30s and 20s and their teens and adolescents? Lord, remember them. Lord, remember them. I know, as it was in the days of Israel, there arose another generation that knew not you, Lord. They didn't know who you were. But Lord, all have souls, and the soul will spend eternity somewhere in the end. God, I'm ashamed to ask for mercy, but I do ask for it, because we need it. How badly, how greatly we need mercy. And I know we too, like Israel and Judah, we are ripe for divine judgment because we have spurned, we have rejected, we have cast you off to the side, Lord, as though you're nothing. We've treated you with contempt. We've treated you with disrespect. We've nullified your word. We've taken prayer out of our public schools, and we've murdered 70 plus million children. And we call it reproductive health care. What a lie, what hypocrisy that we have portrayed and lived. But I know your word says you're rich in mercy. God, I pray, and I don't know how, but all I can do is pray. All I can do is pray and ask for revival. Holy Ghost, heaven sent, sin-killing revival in this nation. Revival, O God, that will awaken every slumbering and sleeping saint, every backslider, every tepid, lukewarm, cold, indifferent, professing Christian. And God, move upon every organization and every denomination and every person that says they're called of God. God, smite all of our hearts with conviction. Conviction. Convince us. Let us be aware that we're lost and we're wafting and wafting away from you, Lord. Shake us. Shake us. God, shake us. I pray the words that come forth from this ministry, the word of the Lord, will have such a divine and sovereign impact on the hearts and lives of thousands upon thousands upon thousands and thousands. God, I thank you for those who help me. I thank you for those who call my name in prayer and this ministry and our small staff that we have. I thank you for every saint of God that's ever called the name of the voice of evangelism. God, I pray that you will reward them. You're just. You can only do that which is right. God, help us. God, help me. God, help me to be sober and be vigilant. As the Apostle Peter said, for the enemy comes as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. God, touch your church. Suffer the church to rise up like a mighty army in these waning hours, O God, and have compassion and conviction for the lost. Stir us, Lord, like you stirred Josiah. David said, the entrance of thy word giveth understanding. Let the word of God find a place to enter our hearts and our minds and bring forth repentance, bring forth righteousness, bring forth what needs to be brought forth, that we can become what you want us to be, Lord, in this hour, I pray. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. We don't have to be brilliant. Because when thy word, through the Holy Spirit of God, pervades our hearts, we understand the things of God. We just intuitively know the deep things of God. God, I pray again for America, our national leaders, our state leaders, our county leaders, our city leaders. God, move all over this nation. Awaken us, God. We need a reformation in America. Oh, God, help us to find the time to pray. Find the time to bathe our minds in thy holy word, Lord. Help us to be better stewards of our time and not waste time, but be obedient like Josiah. Now, God, I pray for every home, every family, every mom, every dad, every husband, every wife. I pray for every single man, every single woman that listens to this program. Comfort them. Those who feel distressed and perplexed, I pray for the comfort of the Holy Ghost of God to permeate their hearts, Lord. Those that are divorced, single, God, remember them. Don't forget them. God, we need you. God, we need you. God, I need you. Lord, we can do nothing without you. Help us to realize it. Help us to understand. You said in your word, for without me, you can do nothing. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. If you're not on our side, we'll not make it, Lord. But Lord, if you are on our side, we can make it, and we will make it. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Now bless the remainder of this teaching series, Rediscovering the Word of God. God, increase the listeners, increase their attentiveness to the Word of the Lord, and honor every effort that's put forth, Father. And we'll give you the praise for it all, which in Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. Amen. I pray today that this series is truly impacting your heart and your life, and you're receiving something from it. I pray that the word of the Lord finds a place of residence in your heart and lodges there and brings forth much fruit through the Holy Spirit and through the word of the living God. Let God's word affect you, change you, transform you. Nothing can ever substitute the word of the Lord. Nothing can change your life like the word of the Lord. God bless you. I'll be back here next week. We're going to pick up in chapter 23 here in 2 Kings. And we'll go to verse 28. And we'll see that Josiah will pass away. He will die. We'll talk about it, his death, because God prophesied he would die in peace. But he died in battle. You may grapple in understanding that. We're all fighting battles. But if you're really a child of God, you have peace in your heart. God kept his word. He took Josiah out before judgment. Have a great week. I'll see you Monday in the Lord.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.